Good morning, Saints. Happy Father's Day. Dads, how are we doing today, dads? We doing all right, dads? It's one of those days that we celebrate and are excited about. Let's begin by opening our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 21 this morning. For a message I've entitled Spiritual Fathering. What we're going to talk about, spiritual mentoring, not only as fathers, but all of, although that's very big today, being Father's Day, not only as fathers, but as spiritual mentoring one another. So we're going to connect it. All of us are going to be involved today. All of us are going to be encouraged through God's Word. Here Paul is writing to us in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll see how it relates to fathers. The Corinthians here were Paul's beloved children in the faith. It says that in our text. He's their spiritual parent, if you will. And he brings that up. He has a parent's strong desire for them, a strong desire for them to walk in the Lord from salvation to sanctification to glorification. And I just want you to think this, get this kind of in your mind and heart, where we're going to be looking today. Paul cared about these people and their faith in Christ and their walk with the Lord all the way through the rest of their life. And he had the same strong desire that as a parent we would have for our children. And he relates that to us in the text. And so that's where we're going to get spiritual fathering from today. Just like us. What parent or what father doesn't desire for their children to be saved? Each and every one of you do. Each and every one of you would love them and desire for them to live a life set apart unto God and to grow in their walk with the Lord. It's how you live. It's what you live for. It's a desire. It's a passion in your life. That's Paul's passion for the church. Listen to some of the things that he said in different books. In Colossians 1, 28, 29, he said, "We continually proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, admonishing everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present every believer complete in Christ. For this purpose I labor." You hear it there, don't you? Dads, is that the purpose of why you labor in your family? That you would present your children, that you would present them to God, that God would work in their life for them to come to Christ, and that you would admonish them, and that you would teach them, so they would be full Christ-likeness. You have that passion. We have that passion in each other's life. Listen to Galatians 4:19. It's on the front of your bulletin. He said, "My children, in whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Can you relate to that? Now, each and every one of our lives, in that we would be to us as a spouse to one another, we would labor that Christ would work in each other's life, that we would grow in our relationship with the Lord as a family of God. We would labor, we would encourage, we would do all the things in each other's life that Christ would be formed in us. Dads, you do that for your children. Paul does this for the church, and that's how we're going to look at today, spiritual fathering. Dads, again, you are in labor with your children for Christ to be formed in them. That's our life. To the Thessalonian church, listen to what he read, what he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2, let me see, 10 and following. Listen to what he said. He said, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you who believe, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." That's spiritual fathering. Fathers were to spiritually father our children. Family of God, we are to mentor to spiritually fathering. And we have a spiritual mothering class going on. It's the same idea. It's the same exhortation. So it connects to us all today. The focus will be on dads. The focus will be on fathers. But it applies to us all. And it's the same here in the Corinthian church. He is mentoring his spiritual children. So let's listen to him as we would read verses 14 through 21 as he mentors, fathers this body of Christ. Listen to what Paul writes. He said, "I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some have become arrogant, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, If the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words which are those of the arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and the spirit of gentleness? Now you heard what he said, right? You see it right there, spiritual fathering. Dads, you are to do this for your children, what he does right here. We are to do this for each other. That's our focus today. We are to spiritually mentor, spiritually fathering each other. Paul in our text gives us four significant things. They're in your outline, four significant principles to fathering spiritually. They admonish, they teach, they discipline, they love. These are elements effective in faithful fathering. Let me tell you that. For you to admonish, for you to teach, for you to discipline, for you to love, are effective elements in faithful fathering. They're effective elements in discipling one another. That's what we're going to look at today. So let's look at the first one. Let's get into this and just apply this to our life as dads, apply this life in our own life. Look what he said, the first principle, fathers admonish. Look at verse 14 and 15 with me. Look what he says. He says, I don't write these things to you to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if I were of countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became a father you through the gospel. See, he came to Corinth and he shared Christ. He shared the truth of Christ, the glory of Christ, the reconciliation, the forgiveness of Christ. They came to the Lord, they put their faith in the Lord, and he sees them as his children. He's fathered them into the kingdom of God, in a sense that God has used him to share Christ. What father doesn't want to share Christ with his children? And God used you to bring them into the kingdom of God. And when he does, don't you want to father them in the continually in the sanctification of their life? You have this passion, desire in your heart to father them. And he says the first thing here is I admonish them. The word here is nutheteo in the Greek, literally means to put in their mind. Here's what he's talking about. It presupposes that something is wrong in their understanding, misunderstood or not understood, and going the wrong way. And that's what he's doing. I want to admonish you. I want to put some things in your mind. I remember listening to Bill Cosby and him talking about his child. And, you know, Bill Cosby's not the spiritual father that we might want to all think of, but he has a great illustration in this. His son was a little guy, about 8 years old, and he took the clippers, you know, the hair clippers, and he took them and he just went right down the center of his head, like that. He just shaved it right off, kind of a reverse mohawk is what it was. And he said, went to him and said, so why did you think that was going to be good and that kind of thing? And he said, I don't know. And he asked him again, why would you do that? And how could you think about it? And he just said, I don't know. You know, nutheteo is what they need. They don't understand. They don't see the things the way God would want them to see them. What in the world are you doing that for? That's the idea. That's the admonishment that he's talking about. We need to get some things in your heart and mind. It's a very strong word. It carries many different ideas. But the idea here first is saying the hard things. Dad, you got to say the hard things. That's what he's getting to. You have to admonish. You have to tell it like it is. A father needs to say the hard things to his children. From salvation to sanctification. No, God's word declares that not all roads lead to heaven. That might be hard to say to a 15-year-old. That their friends don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have some things in their life that say, well, Mom, Dad, they have this, they believe. I need to tell you the hard things. No, God isn't honored by allowing sin to lead our life in this way. And we dishonor God when we do this. Sin corrupts. And God cares about you not sinning. You have to say the hard things in a loving heart for sure. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul used the same word. And he said, admonish the unruly. He's talking to all of us. We're to say the hard things to those that are unruly, not their life not being conforming to what God has for them. It's not okay. Hey, that's not acceptable before the Lord. Remember, our concern is the completeness, the fullness of being Christ-like. So that's the first idea of the word that Paul is saying as we would father or spiritually father This word also carries the idea of warn. See, it's all of these. It's just not one. It's all of them. It's the same word Paul used to say to the elders at Ephesus in Acts 20:31, and he said this, listen, because of the danger of the enemy to God's people, Paul said, he admonished, he said the hard things and warned them night and day for over 3 years. You have to warn. The enemy's against you. The world isn't for you. There's things out there trying to derail your faith in Christ. There's things out there that are trying to get you off of what God would have for you. Not all things are good. We have to warn each other. We have to say the hard things to each other. Fathers, you have to do this for your children. It's part of the deal. Father warns their children of the evils of sin, of following their own flesh, of the evils of the world and the enemy trying to deceive them. Saying what needs to be said, warning about the ways of wrong thought. Because it's in the mind he's talking about. Your 18-year-old doesn't have it all. Bill Cosby, in another joke that he did, and what he was saying, he said his daughter, when she turned 13, she knew it all. She just knew it all. She knew it all. So she called up NASA and said, you need to come get my daughter and have her come to NASA because she just knows everything. And then they said, well, she's only 13. He said, you don't understand. She knows everything. Well, when I was 15, I thought I knew it all. And I had a lot of wrong thinking. And dads need to say the hard things. And they need to warn about how we're thinking. Because we need to put the things in our mind. So do you, so do I, so do we together. We need to help each other with that. As family. That's what Paul's getting to here. But also the word carries the idea of exhorting. This is such an incredible word here. It's a positive side to it. Like you do when you exhort your little guy to hit the baseball. Or your young lady to sing that song. Or to do well in school, you exhort them to have success with the Lord. You exhort them to give it their best. You can do this. Give it your best. Effort triumphs. It's positive. It would be something like this. No, God doesn't want us to do that. It leads to destruction. His best way for us is in this, and we can live this way because of what God has done in our life. That's admonish. Maybe you're thinking and you're wrong, we can't because this is too hard. I need to admonish. Maybe you're thinking that I don't want to because this is not really what I want to do. I need to admonish. I need to speak the hard things. Your flesh is going to tell you that life should be like this. We can't listen to our flesh. We have to listen to the Word of God as He speaks to the spirit of us. And we have to be warned that following our flesh does not bring about what it promises to bring it about. And you know, I need to exhort you that God will do all of it in our life if we will follow Him. That's the word here. That's the word here. It's depth, it's richness of all that he says to admonish. And there's one more idea. In the same word, it's the one instruct or correct them. Colossians 3:16 says it well. It's really a great verse to bring it all about. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Why, Paul? With all wisdom, teaching one another and admonishing one another. Spiritual fathering is knowing God's word. And knowing the biblical truths of it and saying the hard things about belief, about attitude, about lifestyle, warning of going the wrong way, but exhorting and encouraging going the right way, correcting the path that we're on. What an incredible word, isn't it? And God says, admonish your family. Admonish your children. Yes, sometimes we don't want it. Yes, sometimes we argue with it. That's why the foundation of it is the Word of God, the Word of Christ, richly dwelling within us. Because it's not an argument about flesh. It's not an argument about happiness. It's not an argument about anything other than God's plan and purpose for our lives. And it's worth every admonishment you could ever give. That's what fathers do. And he says never to shame them. It's never to put down a child. Maybe we said it wrong at the time and you felt put down. But a dad's heart is never to shame their children. That's not the point, but it's like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12. It's for the upbuilding of them. It's always for their growth, their best, their building up, their faith in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you need shamed for your mistakes? Or do you need built up in the way to walk for the Lord? Every one of you say you need built up to walk with the Lord. Deal with our hearts when it's an attitude or a heart to just bring shame in our heart. Because God says this word, this desire in us is to build up one another. So spiritual fathers admonish, but they also teach. Look at verse 16 and 17. They also teach. Listen to what he says. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul taught. Did you hear what he said? Do as I do. Men, isn't that challenging? He said, do as I do. You teach by example, 2 Timothy 3:10. Now follow my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance, my persecution, and suffering. A living example before your children. But let me tell you, it's full of confession, repentance, forgiveness, righteousness, holiness, and God's undenying, faithful love and grace and mercy in your life. Let me say that again. It's full of confession, repentance, forgiveness, righteousness, and God's undenying love for you and his grace and mercy in your life. Because your conduct, your purpose, your faith, your patience, your love, your perseverance will never be perfect because you're not Christ. But what God asks you to do in your imperfection is be a man of confession, of repentance, of forgiveness, and seeking after righteousness. Some of the greatest lessons, some of the greatest examples that you will be to your family is to say, forgive me for what I did. And I turn and repent and hold me accountable in going another way. Because the Lord Jesus Christ rescued me from this. And that's what he does in our life, and you'll need him to rescue you too. You teach by example. You don't teach from perfection. That's our goal, man, to be an example. There was a story of this one young pastor that had a job of mixing feed to supplement his income. He was a young pastor, kind of associate guy, and he mixed feed. And so he was mixing feed, and he'd get all this feed all over him, and he would come home. And when he would come home, he just would have all this dust from mixing the feed all over him. And he had two little children there, 4 and 5, and they said, boy, Dad, you're dusty. Look at Dad, you're all dusty. Look how this dust is on you. And he didn't think much of it. He'd just go get cleaned up, and he'd have dinner. And then he would, you know, go about his day, and they would say it more, you know, every now and then. They say, wow, Dad, you're dusty. And then he didn't think much of it, and he was cleaning the car one day. He's out there washing the car, and there's this 4 and 5-year-old running in the driveway, and they're picking up rocks, and they're rubbing them on their legs. And he's like, what's wrong with my children? So he goes, what's going on, you guys? What's going on, you guys? And he said, Dad, we want to be dusty like you. Right there, and he realized just how much he was influencing his children in each and everything in his life. Dad, you know that. They want to be just like you. They want to be dirty and dusty, and they want to have all of the... That's just part of the deal. You need to realize how much they look up to their father. And in our heart and mind, yes, we know we're pointing them to our Heavenly Father. You teach by example, and you teach the ways of Christ. You teach the ways of Christ by the way you live. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:6 to the Christians there, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Our ways are to be the ways, are to be His ways, and we teach the Lord's ways. It's living for God, the ways of Christ, compassion, kindness, holiness, love for others, trust in the Lord. One day a dad came home. And you know, sometimes as dads, we don't think the wisest thing sometimes. But he bought one toy. He had three little kids. So he got one toy. And he brought the toy home. And he said, okay, I'm going to bring the toy home. We'll see how this goes. I think they'll learn to share and that kind of thing. So he brings the toy home and he tells the kids, so who's going to play with the toy? You know, it's a fun toy. Maybe it was a truck. Maybe it was a fire truck, that kind of thing. So who's going to play with the toy? How are we going to work this? Who should get the toy? Well, he thought they'd share, but you can imagine what happened. Mine, you know, or I get the toy. No, Johnny doesn't get, I get the toy. You know, that happened, and he was kind of like, oh, bummer, you know, that happened. Then he said, okay, let's have it this way. Who's the most obedient, who doesn't talk back to mom, who honors mom the most, and who does their chores without being told? And that's who will get the toy. So the kids are just silent. They're just sitting there. And then so all together, in a chorus, they say, Dad, you play with the toy. Because Dad was the one being an example of being obedient. And they recognized in their dad, these little ones, that he honors mom. And that he goes through life doing the things he's supposed to do without being told. So he won the toy. See, you teach the ways of the Lord and you teach the Word of God. Really, by the way you live, yes, you need to teach its word, the word, what God said. Listen, my wisdom, your understanding, your philosophy of life, my philosophy of life, our philosophical views of the world cannot hold a candle to God's word. We know that. But do we teach that? By the way we live. It's a strong charge to fathers. We've been through this in Corinthians. It was their issue. They thought man's wisdom could hold a candle to God's wisdom, to God's truth. Philosophically, they were wrong. God's word, God's truth, is the only truth with salvation and sanctification power. You might want to write that down. God's word, God's truth, is the only truth with salvation and sanctification power, and there is no other truth. It has the power of God to change a heart, to change a life, to change me, to change you. It's the only way to become adequately equipped to honor God is to know His word, to honor what God desires. It's the only way to be adequately equipped to honor God. And that's what we teach. The way of Christ taught in God's word, lived out, that's what you teach. Third, spiritual fathering disciplines. Look at verse 21. Look what he says here. Here's Paul fathering spiritually these people, and he says this: what do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and the spirit of gentleness? Dads, use that one as you enter the bedroom one day. Use that one. What do you guys desire? Do you enter with a rod or the spirit? You're going to do gentleness, Dad, please. That's what he's doing. He's going to return. He's going to enter in. What is it? What discipline do we need? It's part of the deal. No boundaries, no discipline, no chastisement, no accountability, no change. It doesn't change. That's how God's worked this out. We need discipline in our life. We need corrected in our life. Matthew 18. Why is it there, Matthew 18, when your brother sins, go to him and try to win your brother? Why is it there? Because we need that in our life. I needed spanked as a kid many, many, many times. And I got it many, 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 many times. Mom could attest to that, and she probably said, spank him some more. Not out of anger, not out of love. You can't run across the street. That would be something I would have got a spank for. No, you can't throw rocks at the house. I mean, I got one for that. And I was 5 years old and set the kitchen on fire. I needed whooped. Now, I'm not saying whip your kid. You know what I'm saying? We need discipline. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. That's what Christ said. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Well, what a great thing, Jesus, to say. You are going to reprove. That's strong. Discipline, that might be with a rod. Therefore, be zealous and turn. See, repentance is vital. It is so vital to our life in the Lord, turning and going another direction, changing our thoughts, and sometimes strong discipline is needed there to help change our thoughts. to let us know that the ways of the wicked, the ways of the enemy, the ways of our flesh, the ways that we sometimes just want to go are destructive. How many in the room would not discipline their child if he kept running out in the street and he's three? Any of you say, well, you know, maybe he'll learn? You tell them once or twice, and that can, they run out there, and you got to make it seriously in their heart. You can't do that. You'll die. Well, we can't do some of the things we do. We dishonor God, and we're corrupting our lives, and we have to say to each other, you can't do that. It's wrong. It takes discipline to do that. Paul is going to say, you can't do that. It dishonors God. Are you a believer in Christ? There's a choice here. And if you do dishonor God and will not follow the Lord, the church has to discipline you to bring you back. Fathers, I failed in that as a dad. I did. I've repented, asked for forgiveness. I was the easygoing guy. I have the conviction of God. He didn't smite me down. He uses it for his glory. But address your heart. All of us need to change. You do, your children do. Proverbs 3:12 says, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Even as a father corrects the child in whom he delights. Do you really delight in your children, or do they delight in you and what they think of you? Do you delight in the Lord? Proverbs 13:24 says, he who withholds his discipline hates his child. It's a strong verse for me. But he who loves them disciplines them diligently. Nobody hates their children. But your actions reflect something. That you love yourself more than you love them. The last principle here. Obviously, spiritually, fathering loves. Look at verse 14. This is over all of this. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Paul does all of this because they are his beloved family. And out of love for God, first, he loves. Can I tell you something? You know, Jesus was asked, what are the two greatest commandments? And he said, the first one is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Can I tell you that if you don't do the first one, you can't do the second one correctly? Because you can love your wife, you can love your kids, you can love your neighbor, you can all that, and it not be loving God, and then it isn't really love. Sometimes the church and our world has mixed that up, that we can love one another, that we can be God's love, and we can be all of this love to each other, and it doesn't love God. You know what it is? It's not love. That's why God wrote it that way. It dishonors God to say that that's acceptable in that person's life. Say, well, I'm loving them, but you're not loving God, so you're not really loving them. What you're loving is not God. And that is so hard in this life. Because the world throws stones at us for not loving them and what they want us to love in, but we got to say we got to love God first. And God's word says that's not acceptable. And so I'll love God, then have God help me to love you. And you're not the defining thing on whether I loved you or not. The one I love first is. And that's Paul's heart here. Dads, can I tell you something? Love God first. There's no greater father in your life to guide and to lead you on how to love your children. But if you compromise your love for God, you're not really loving them. That's something I've learned through experience. And that God has worked in my life. And in my heart. And that's what Paul's talking about here. It's out of love for God first, he loves them. So love admonishes, warns, exhorts, instructs, teaches by example the ways of Christ, teaches God's word, and disciplines for the good of the one loved out of a love for God. That's God's love for you, isn't it? Think about that with me for a moment. Is that the Father's love for you? That he admonishes, warns, exhorts, instructs, that he teaches the ways of his son, the ways of Christ. He guides you and leads you in God's word, and he disciplines you for the good of you. That's the Father's love for you. And he says that's what we need as fathers, on how we would love our children and spiritual father each other. We'll close with this, and then we'll do the closing song, Josh. I got a little prayer for you here by this spiritual giant of a man, Douglas MacArthur. But he's a neat guy, and he wrote some neat things. If you ever get a chance, read some of the things that he wrote. We know that he was a general, and he had a certain kind of flair for him, some things. But he wrote this prayer. It's called An Old Soldier's Prayer. I want you to hear what he wrote. He's praying to the Lord. He said, "Build me a child, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when they are weak and brave enough to face themselves when they are afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a child whose wishes will not take place of deeds, a child who will know thee, and that to know you and themselves is the foundation stone of knowledge. Build me a child whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a child who will master themselves before they seek to master others, one who will reach into the future yet never forget the past. And after all these things are theirs, add, I pray, enough of a sense of humor that they may be always serious yet never take themselves too seriously. Give them humility so that they may always remember the simplicity of true greatness, the open mind of true wisdom, and the meekness of true strength. Then I, their father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by your grace and by your transformation of our life, by your mercy and by your performing work in our life, that we can live in this life representing you not in vain. That our hope is all fixed on you and your work and your spirit and your desire in our life, and that we can follow you and your word and live in such a manner worthy of the gospel that has called us, that has saved us, and live as fathers, as dads in this life, full of grace and mercy and repentance and forgiveness and confession, full of Christ and his goodness. And the outcome, Lord, of how we live as we trust in you is never in vain, because our hope isn't in us. It isn't in how good we do. It's how incredibly great you are. We're so thankful that it is about you, Lord. Help us to live each and every day that way. Thank you for being a dad. Thank you for allowing us to be dads and honor and be an example of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the closing song.
Chosen.